You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. James Edwards, Winston Smith in with me for the final hour tonight. Again, thanks to Keith Alexander for his contributions to the show. Eddie the Bombardier Miller off this evening, resting his achy bones after running 20-plus miles today in preparation for his second consecutive St. Jude Marathon, which will take place the first week in December. We're all very proud of Eddie for his contributions and sacrifice to the kids of pediatric childhood cancer. And Winston, you know, I want to tell you before we dive into the topics of this third hour, it's going to be the busiest hour yet. I got four topics. We got four segments, four topics I want to get to. But I do want to tell you how much I enjoy working with you, and certainly want to thank our friend Stephanie, who makes your appearances possible through the aid of her transcription of what I'm saying. You're reading it and then responding in kind despite the loss of your hearing. We make it happen, and I want to thank her and certainly thank you. We've been doing this a long time together. We don't get to do it as often as I would like under the circumstances, but it's always a privilege and an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, James. Stephanie says it's her pleasure and her privilege to serve our people, and she looks forward to doing it for many years more.
Well, I hope that she does, and we will certainly hope to be here, and not in vain. We've made a couple of references to our position on the talk radio ladder tonight. As of this very moment, according to the ratings, we are the sixth most listened to show in the country online. That's not even counting those tuning in on the AM, FM affiliates across the country. It really defies belief. Number six in the country right now, Winston.
I don't think it defies belief at all. I think the people out there, they want to hear what we talk about. And let's face it, James, they all love you.
Well, you know, we had to have a handsome face to anchor the show, but thankfully there's talent behind me, and that would be you and Keith and Eddie and Stephanie, for that matter. But listen, Winston, I want to remind the folks, you were talking about John Derbyshire's article, The Talk. We're going to feature that at thepoliticalcesspool.org in the days leading into Thanksgiving. I want to get back on one topic very quickly, and then I want to move. We haven't given the homosexuals any play tonight. Before the 3 hours is up, I want to make sure we've offended absolutely everybody, and we haven't given the homosexuals any play yet, but that's coming. But first, I mentioned this briefly last week. I want to quickly get your take on it, Winston. NBA players a few days ago, I think Keith and I covered this just briefly last Saturday. NBA players, non-white NBA players, of course, are defending the use of the N-word. Matt Barnes referred to some of his teammates as N-words, and the NBA fined him for that, and Matt Barnes responded by saying, "The word I used is a word that's used on the court, in the locker room, amongst my friends and family. It's a regular word to me. You guys have to get used to it." Charles Barkley then went on TNT defending use of the N-word, exclusively, though, when black people use it to refer to each other as that. Shaquille O'Neal, I believe he's a doctor now. Did you know that? Now, he wasn't given an honorary doctorate. Supposedly, he earned a doctorate. If you've ever listened to Shaquille O'Neal speak, the way he mangles the English language, it's just, you know, he has to have an IQ about 2 points below that of a tumbleweed. But anyway, he's Dr. Shaq now. He too said, yeah, we got G clearance to use the word, whatever that means. And anyway, he and Barkley, who also not the sharpest tool in the shed to hear Barkley speak, actually liked Barkley as a player. All politics and ideology aside, he was an undersized power forward and was a great basketball player. But anyway, Shaq and Charles are on TNT saying, you know, blacks can use the word, but if a white person uses it, and they said this on TNT, we're going to bash him on the side of the head. They said that on TNT. And then also, though, Winston, this is the zinger. It's racist for white Americans to suggest that black people should stop calling each other N-word. So It's racist if white people call blacks N-words. It's racist if white people ask blacks not to use the word. But it's perfectly hunky-dory if black people refer to each other as such. And I wrapped up my comments by saying that level of jaw-dropping hypocrisy would be blinding to most of us, but the consistency in the outlook of Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal is that white people are always at fault, no matter what they do.
Yeah, you know, earlier this year, James, the Philadelphia Eagles fired Riley Cooper when he used the N-word. Excuse me. And some of the blacks on the team said they could no longer trust him, and his presence would cause tension in the locker room. It's just amazing to me, James, how we white people can totally turn the black community upside down and send them into a conniption fit just by using a word that they use constantly. You know, if they want to own the word, that's fine. They do own it in more ways than one, if I might say. But, yeah. Well, what's so enigmatic about this issue is that blacks are hardly niggardly in the way they use the N-word. And if they would just look to their N-word selves, they would see that their constant use of it is unhelpful.
Anybody goes to dictionary.com, you will know what the word niggardly means, and it has nothing to do with the N-word, and Winston did use that in the proper context, so I don't want to be getting emails about that, but a good play on words, if you will, Winston. But here's the thing, too, that really got me about Charles Barkley. He said that white people can't use it because they haven't been through what we've been through. And, of course, he's talking about slavery. Now, that's the thing that they always fall back on. Slavery hasn't existed in America in over 150 years. White people ended the practice. I wish that practice had never occurred. Now, certainly, according to the Bible, it's not a sin. The only time the Bible refers to slavery, it mandates that masters treat their slaves well and slaves obey their masters. But that being said, I wouldn't want my family or daughter to be slaves. I wouldn't want to hold a slave. Certainly, I wish slavery had never existed, because perhaps if it hadn't, I wouldn't be subjected to the idiocy and stupidity of people like Charles Barkley and Shaq as talking commentators on NBA telecasts on TNT. But Charles Barkley's right about one thing. I have no idea what he's been through. I will never know what it's like to earn over $100 million in player contracts and endorsement deals. So once again, like it was with Oprah, she is a multi-billionaire based upon the opportunities and support she has received from white fans, just like Charles Barkley. But the biggest problem they can see is the racism of the very people that have made them multimillionaires and, in Oprah's case, billionaires. Charles goes back, you know, to slavery. Charles never suffered from slavery. If anything, Charles was born in a time that allowed him to take advantage of the color of his skin to receive preferential treatment and advancement based upon nothing more than his pigmentation. Whites have suffered as slaves. Yes, whites own slaves. They were also slaves. Blacks have owned slaves. Every race of people, every portion of humanity has been the victims of slavery and have also been the practitioners of slavery. White people ended the practice. There are actually still places where slavery still exists today, and it's in entirely non-white countries, but you won't see Shaq and Charles talk about that. No, you won't. We got to take a break, folks. We'll be back with more. We actually have the video clip of Shaq and Charles trying to hammer that topic out. Go check it out on the website. We'll be back.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello in Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. That number again, 801-216-4816.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. Going to shift gears now, but first, as we depart from the Charles Barkley, just, you know, sheer idiocy, to say again, I mean, you know, this show doesn't endorse crude and vulgar language. We don't condone, you know, the N-word per se, just because it makes us look bad. You know, want to send to their level. So, you know, no one practices that here. No one encourages that. If it's rude and impolite, you shouldn't be rude and impolite. But just the double standard again, the sheer hypocrisy, it's worth pointing out. And again, the only consistency in Barkley's argument is that whites are always at fault. Whether they're using the word or encouraging blacks not to use it, they are racists for doing so. All right, let's shift gears here, Winston. A 13-year-old boy was sent home from school this week for wearing a purse. First of all, I was pleased that the principal had the guts to take such an appropriate action in this day and age. What's really disturbing, though, is the support that this boy got from other students, and worse yet, his own mother. When I was in school, which was not all that long ago, I'm 33 years old, so my high school days are in the mid-90s. If a boy was to wear a purse to school, he would have rightly been laughed right out the door. Now, this mentally ill kid will probably become homecoming queen next year at this school. We're going to play a quick news clip that gives you the background of the story, then me and Winston are going to go at it.
A Kansas teenager says he was suspended from school all over a purse, a designer handbag to be exact. KCTV5's Dave Jordan went to Anderson County to find out more.
13-year-old Skylar Davis says he has been coming to school here for months wearing the purse, and no one had a problem with it until today. At issue is this colorful Vera Bradley purse, which Skylar Davis, an eighth grader at Anderson County Junior Senior High School, insists on wearing.
It expresses myself, and I think everyone else can wear it, so I can wear it as well.
But a member of the faculty felt differently. Skylar found that out after he says he was summoned to Assistant Principal Don Hilliard's office.
I was told to go put it up, and I went to the office, and they told me that I refused to take it off, and they suspended me.
The school then called Skylar's mom.
I was a little furious, so I called the school just to re-verify the story. And it was that he refused to take off his Vera Bradley bag. And nothing more to it. Any style of clothing that causes disruptions?
Leslie Willis scanned the student handbook, which she says makes no mention of bags and purses. She questions the decision to suspend her son and also the timing.
Scott has been going to school since August every morning with that same Vera Bradley bag on, has not taken it off. What is the problem today?
We called the school for comment and left messages on Assistant Principal Hilliard's office and cell phone. We also went to his house and left a message there. We have not heard back. Meanwhile, Skylar's family and friends are supporting his decision to carry his purse, especially since, according to them, girls get to carry their purses on campus.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen girls wear shorter shorts, you know, than that. I mean, why don't they get kicked out? But he gets kicked out for a purse? That doesn't make sense. It's not right. I don't think everyone should be treated differently. Everyone should be have the same privileges.
Skylar's suspension was only for one day, but it will likely be extended if he continues wearing the purse, which he says he will do. In Garnett, Dave Jordan, KCTV 5 News.
All right, Winston, as one of our commenters opined on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, the die perhaps was cast for this mentally disturbed youngster when his mother named him Skylar. On another note, I can't help but notice that there is no father interviewed for this report. Perhaps if Skylar had a father in his life, he wouldn't be fluttering around his school campus wearing a purse and girl jeans. The thing about homosexuality is this, Winston. First of all, it is certainly not something that should be celebrated. I think now more than ever before, you certainly have people choosing to become homosexuals because it's trendy, it's in vogue, they'll get preferred status and this, that, and the other, according to the media. But by and large, the American Psychiatric Association had it right in the 1970s, and we always say this. The APA, rightly listed homosexuality as a mental disorder. It was officially listed as a mental disorder all the way up until the 1970s. It still is, of course, a mental disorder, just no longer an officially listed one. Political correctness took care of that. But I do believe that there is some sort of a defect that happens to some homosexuals when they're in the womb. Perhaps their brain doesn't get bathed in testosterone, as is the case with most normal males. So it is, in some cases, I believe, a mental deficiency. In other cases, it's just people, sick people, choosing to butcher themselves or have sex change operations that really is irrelevant to what may have happened in the womb. But I think it's a combination of the two. I don't think it's necessarily one or the other exclusively. Either way, it is not something to be celebrated. You don't have to hate people for that. I don't hate homosexuals. I don't agree with the lifestyle. I think that they should seek help to the extent that they can. But it's just not something that should be celebrating. You listen to this report, and it's as if this kid is some sort of a hero. And you couldn't see the child. Obviously, this is radio, not television, although we do have the video on our website. But you look at him, and he's wearing, you know, feminine cut pants and a girl's belt and talking effeminately. And, of course, wearing a purse, if that's not the biggest indicator, but you know, it's a very backwards and degenerate society that would hold this up as some sort of an example that others should follow, as some sort of a courageous trendsetter this kid is. And what can you say about his mother, Winston? I mean, certainly you love your child no matter what. There's a what's the word I'm looking for? Unconditional love that you have for your child. But this is something that she's defending.
Well, if she really loved her child, she would know that allowing him to dress that way and to carry a purse would cause problems for him. She had to have known it would, and yet she did nothing about it, or maybe she even encouraged him. But, you know, James, this kind of reminds me of that progressive car insurance commercial where the couple walks in, and there's Flo there, the spokeswoman, and the man is wearing a purse. And at the end, Flo says, "And no more walking around carrying her purse." And the man's wife says, "It's a European shoulder bag." And the guy says, "It was a gift." And he kind of motions his eyes towards his wife. But, you know, I have mixed feelings about this. Now, this kid is obviously making a very misguided statement in his attire and in his bearing. But, you know, James, I have friends, I have guy friends who carry around what they openly call a man purse. Now they don't look like something a woman would carry. A lot of them are made of canvas and that they look like more like satchels. But these guys, they're engineers and they're physicists. They're people I work with, and they carry around large amounts of paperwork and notebooks and cell phones and all kinds of crazy stuff. And it's hard for them to haul it around in their hands. So they have a bag, you know, like Indiana Jones used to carry.
Right, right.
And, you know, I'll fully admit, whenever I go camping with my son, I carry a little backpack, and I use a haversack. And it's actually repurposed from a Swedish gas mask bag. But some people would look at that and say, oh, it's a man purse, when it's really not. It's a haversack, for crying out loud. This kid, I imagine if he were to do something like that, he would not be in the position he's in today.
Well, I think this kid's purse had butterflies on it, so, you know, you're not going to mistake him for Harrison Ford.
No, not at all. But really, this goes back to his mother, and if I read Stephanie right, there was no mention of a father in the
correct
in the story. This woman had to have known that this behavior was going to cause him problems. Now, maybe, you know, there's a mental disorder called, I think it's called Munchausen's by proxy syndrome, in which parents put their kids into bad situations so that the parents themselves can receive some kind of sympathy, some kind of attention for bearing this burden or whatever. But she had to have known that this was going to cause problems. She should have stopped it. She didn't. And now she's got her 15 minutes of fame, you know.
Hey, listen, they're both heroes right now. We're the pariahs, according to the mainstream press. They are the heroes. They are the moral exemplars. Shows you how backwards things are, but we're going to change it. Hey, I tell you, before it's all said and done, we're going to change it. We'll be back right after this.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, my next article that Winston and I are going to be covering here as we begin to round the final corner for tonight's live broadcast is an article like so many others that we use as fodder on this radio show that was sent to me by a listener. Most of the content that we present to you was sent by you. And the writer of this piece, not our listener, but the piece that he is sending to us for commentary, the writer of that piece expresses dismay that a recent survey has found that people find the homosexual flag, the rainbow flag, more offensive than the Confederate battle flag. Of course, you know what we think about the Confederate battle flag, and I'll remind you what I think about it in just a moment. But the poll shows that people find that flag, the homosexual flag, more offensive than the Confederate battle flag. The article that was written for the Washington Post suggests that the Confederate flag is no better than a swastika. And that's a double slam. It exalts homosexuality on the one hand, and then denigrates the flag that such godly men as Thomas Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee fought under. But this is what the Washington Post article reads, Winston. A public policy polling survey released last week that teenagers wearing the Confederate flag and the gay pride rainbow flag struck me curious. It was the responses that blew my mind. A symbol of hate is viewed as more favorable apparel choice for teens than one of inclusion. And it goes on to report that the majority of people were perfectly okay with the Confederate flag, but the vast majority, the overwhelming majority, thought that the sodomite flag was offensive and should not be allowed to be worn to school. And then the writer, of course, offers that the Confederate flag is the same as a swastika. It's a symbol of white supremacy, hate, oppression, and has no place in American political discourse. Now, I wrote Winston that a natural reaction to such lunacy would be to bristle at the level of ignorance shown by the writer. But when someone, to me, you know, what Oprah Winfrey said was far more inflammatory to me than that. Only because when someone is so wildly off course, as this writer is, all I do is just smirk at the nonsense and move on about my good work. What Oprah said, and the way it was taken so seriously in a mainstream manner, and that people should actually die, is certainly more offensive to me. You know, when she says that my parents and grandparents should die and that they need to die, she's talking about my parents. You know, that's the generation of people she's talking about. Now, that to me is more offensive than what a homosexual writer for the Washington Post says in a hissy fit. But the truth is about the Confederate flag, first of all, is that it is the chief symbol of a unique and distinct culture of people, my people. It's my flag. It's a glorious and virtuous Christian flag. It's a Christian symbol and one that forever flies against tyranny. I'm proud to claim the Confederate flag is my own. But Winston, what do you make of this article and its ramifications?
It's disgusting. Just plain and simple, it's disgusting. First of all, to say that the Confederate flag is comparable to the swastika, you know, the NAACP is fond of saying something similar. They'll say, you know, why would you want to fly a Confederate flag? You wouldn't want to fly a Nazi flag, would you? But the NAACP, James, as you remember, not that long ago, held a meeting on the State House grounds in South Carolina, and they had somebody come in and build a crate around a statue of George Washington because they found George Washington offensive.
Right.
So that's the NAACP for you, taking their attitude on the Confederate flag. And this writer is obviously espousing that same view. But people, James, know what we think and how we feel about our beautiful Confederate flag. I think it's just a good-looking flag. But I'd like to talk about that damnable gay pride flag. James, to me, that rag is profoundly offensive, and it should be profoundly offensive to all Christians. The rainbow is a reminder from none other than God himself that he will never again destroy the world by flood. That's all he intended the rainbow to be. And it was given to us by the same God who calls sodomy an abomination. But maybe that's the point of sodomites co-opting the rainbow, James. They see it as a symbol of their victory over God. And, James, have you noticed how angry these militant, belligerent sodomites are? They are always loaded for bear. They are always talking through their teeth, or like they've got 10-penny nails in their teeth, and they are always just very angry, and they're always very angry because they are always at war with God. They could be given everything they wanted tomorrow, and they would still be angry because they would still be at war with God. That's my complaint about the gay pride flag. It's a co-opting of a sacred Christian symbol. And I encourage people, whenever it's flown somewhere, complain to local government that it is offensive to you. If you have to, by golly, pretend you're a Muslim and say that it's offensive to you because homosexuality is offensive to you. Now take the aggression on this. But don't let it go by unchecked. Do something about it. Take back our symbol. That is our symbol, the rainbow, and sodomy has no right to it.
You know, Winston, I'm glad you said that. That was absolutely prescient, because you're right. And ironically, as they have taken a Christian symbol and made it their own, they are also denigrating the other Christian symbol, which is the Confederate flag, of course, based upon the cross of St. Andrews. I think that most people, well, obviously, I'm proven right here. This was a public policy poll, a very mainstream poll, that suggests that the majority of respondents find the Confederate flag acceptable to wear or to fly, whereas the vast majority found the homosexual or sodomite flag inappropriate and offensive. It shows that, as we always say, most people still fundamentally agree with us on these issues. Of course, they don't have a venue in the mainstream media outside of this network and this program, unfortunately. But they are still out there, and they are still the majority. Unfortunately, they're not organized. They are complacent. They are, you know, enamored with bread and circus. But we are still a majority as far as it goes. Now, that being said, little hissy fit hit pieces like was written by this writer for the Washington Post will whittle away slowly but surely public opinion. You know, you just have hundreds and hundreds of pieces like that. It will take them decades, but eventually the tide will turn if we don't do something about that. I was watching something on the military channel. I knew better. I was flipping through the TV a couple of nights ago, and I saw a show on DirecTV on the military channel. It was called Gettysburg, The Battle That Saved America. I knew from the title alone, knowing that the real Americans lost that battle, that it was going to be skewed anti-Confederate and anti-Southerner. But I tuned in anyway, because sometimes I'm a masochist. And I caught the very opening of the show. And it had this obese black professor from that bastion of higher learning, Coppin State University. And he said that the Civil War was fought for one reason and one reason alone, and that was to preserve slavery. He said that racists will say it was fought over states' rights. States' rights to preserve slavery. Anybody that's ever done even a cursory and elementary review of the war and the causes of that war know better than that. But he also went on to say this, which was the most heinous thing I've ever read, that the Confederate Army was led by a racist slave owner named Robert E. Lee. I have never heard Robert E. Lee referred to as such. And it just goes to show they continue to want to advance their line in the sand. I mean, normally if all of the Confederates were denigrated, Robert E. Lee would be absolved of that, because he was perhaps the most Christ-like person to ever trod this earth. behind, of course, Christ himself. And I don't want to liken him to the Savior. We all fall short, but he was almost that godly. And for him to be denigrated as nothing more than a racist slaveholder fighting for a cause that was only seeking to preserve the institution of slavery, well, that's what passes as mainstream commentary. And they did not have one person rebut that on the military channel.
Yeah. there's another military angle to this, James, and that is over in Afghanistan, the Christian flag was banned from being flown for fear of offending Muslims, and but this gay pride flag was allowed to fly. How does that happen? Personally, I don't want to call it the gay pride flag anymore. I want to call it the Lucky Charms flag, because whenever you see that leprechaun in the Lucky Charms commercials, he's always generating this rainbow to bring magically delicious, unhealthy breakfast food to somebody. I just call it the Lucky Charm flag.
With that, we're going to take a break, folks. We're going to end on an uplifting note, I promise. Uplifting when we come back.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Wise up, load up at freezedryguy.com. Now is the time to get the freeze-dried meats, fruits, and vegetables you want from Wise, on sale at freezedryguy.com. This delicious, nutritious food is perfect for your emergency preparedness or outdoor recreational needs. It's the food with a 25-year shelf life you see exclusively featured on the popular Doomsday Preppers TV show. It's the same quality line of food the lovely Marie Osmond has been touting all across America. It's the wise investment in your family's future that personal finance expert and radio host Dave Ramsey has been talking about. And it's on sale now through Cyber Monday, December 2nd at freezedryguy.com. So wise up, shop online now or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Make the wise food choice. It's easy to prepare, easy to enjoy, and easy to buy on sale now at freezedryguy.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, last segment, folks, of the night. It has been a busy night in the political cesspool. It's been a glorious night, as it always is, to share your company. I received an email in the last commercial break from a listener of the show. He sent me a link to a New York Times article that suggests that the knockout game is a racist urban myth. So who are you going to believe, folks? the New York Times or your lying eyes. They basically are saying that despite all the security camera and the blacks that admit to playing the game, as Winston rightly does not want to call it anymore, New York Times says it does not exist. It's an urban myth. Okay. Well, that's the mainstream media for you. Anyway, I want to, and we will talk more about that next week when we have more time. I do want to end the final show before Thanksgiving on an uplifting note by reading George Washington's original Thanksgiving Proclamation. We do it every year. And uncannily, Winston, when you first joined the staff, it was in the fall of 2006, and I believe that we read George Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation together on your very first show, or perhaps one of your first shows. You had just come on board, and so it's a serendipitous that you'd be back with us tonight, because they sure don't make them like this anymore. I mean, could you imagine someone like Barack Obama ever having the kind of character it takes to deliver anything so beautiful and as righteous as that which I'm about to read? And that's the difference between conservatives like us and liberals. Liberals think that they are superior to their parents and to their ancestors. I don't think I am nearly as good. And I'm smarter than most, but it'll be difficult for me to even read this, because just the eloquence with which Washington wrote, I can hardly stay in that level. And George Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation speech to me represents the kind of America that we seek to restore. I'm going to read it and then let Winston offer his thoughts on it. This is what George Washington wrote. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity to peaceably establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, to be devoted by people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will ever be, that we may then unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitution of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and, in general, for all the great and various favors which God has been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally, to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best, given under my hand at the city of New York, the 3rd day of October, A.D. 1789, signed George Washington. Winston, gives me chills, literally gives me chills to read that. And we're going to post that in its entirety to our website on Thanksgiving Day on Thursday. It'll be featured. It'll be the only article we post on Thursday. Everyone, listen, folks. Everyone read that to your family. Read that to your children. That might be the only time they ever hear about it, because God knows they're not going to read anything like that in school. I think George Washington mentioned God by some name or another 20 times plus in that short letter. And here at the Political Cesspool, you know, we revere people like that. George Washington is going to suffer the same indignity as Nathan Bedford Forrest and Robert E. Lee and the Confederates. And in fact, it's already beginning, as Winston mentioned in the last segment, which prompted me to read that. The NAACP boarded up a statue of Washington because, you know, he was just a racist. Our best efforts here as a voice for our people, for the people of George Washington, are filthy rags compared to those who have come before us. But we try our very best. And we give thanks to our ancestors today on Thanksgiving and always, and certainly to our loyal audience of faithful listeners as well. We couldn't do it without you. We wouldn't be here without them. And so before I toss it over to Winston, I want to be sure to wish you and yours a very happy Thanksgiving from all of us here at the Political Cesspool, from our hosting staff and production crew, from the Bushman family and the network Liberty News Radio. Folks, Thanksgiving is a beautiful holiday and, you know, certainly second to Christmas, but still a great Christian holiday nonetheless. And when you read what George Washington wrote, you know that there is still something about the fabric of the American experiment that is worth preserving and fighting for, and that is why we fight. We talk about some issues, but when it really boils down to the root of it all, it's that kind of stuff that we're fighting for. And I wish we still had men like Washington in positions of power, because God knows they're not there anymore. Winston, when you read that, what does it invoke in your spirit?
Like you, James, it gives me chills, and it makes my heart warm and throb in my chest for so many reasons and on so many levels. Firstly, it's just the classic, chaste, and clear English that Washington uses. A master rhetorician, one who knew how to handle the language in a way that people today don't really care to know how to speak like that anymore. Although they should, because that would help them think more clearly. We wouldn't be in the mess we were in today if our language were better. Second of all, there are the theological aspects of it. As you said, he mentions he refers to God in one way or another multiple times in there. So don't ever let anybody get away with telling you that our founding fathers were deists, because there's no deism in anything that Washington said there. Thirdly, James, as usual at this time of year, we're going to soon see commentaries denigrating Thanksgiving as a symbol of conquest, of theft, and, of course, of racism. We'll be told that the Aboriginal Americans who helped the English settlers survive were soon to be wiped out by those same recipients of the Indians' generosity. Folks, don't let that bother you. Those people are small-minded. They are closed-minded. They are not worthy of a response to you, and not worthy of a response by you. Take that day, gather your families around you, read Washington's Thanksgiving Day proclamation, and thank God together that we are still able to do what we do, and renew in yourself the conviction that it's worth fighting for and needful to fight for it. We live in perilous times, my friends. And we need holidays like Thanksgiving to bring us back to our beginnings, to show us from where we came, and thereby telling us how to chart a course into the future. It's not just a holiday, even though we've seen stories that the stores are going to start their so-called Black Friday sales on Thanksgiving Day rather than on the day after. Don't participate in that. Keep this day sacred. Keep it beautiful, and use it to renew your commitment to our people and to our God. And happy Thanksgiving, folks. Thank you for supporting the Political Cesspool. God bless you. God love you, James. I know I do.
Well, there's a lot of love here, and this show is motivated and inspired by love. If it wasn't for the love that we had for our people and our culture and our traditions and our ancestors, you know, we wouldn't take the spears and we wouldn't suffer the scars that it takes to produce this show every week. But, you know, at the end of the day, we have to cover the uncomfortable topics. We have to cover the ugly topics on this show because no one else will. And there's a war being waged against our people rhetorically and physically, and we have to meet them on the front lines in the court of public opinion. But at the end of the day, it's stories like this, celebrations of our people, that inspire us to do our good work. And we will not lose sight of that. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. We love you. God bless you. We'll talk to you next week.
To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.